Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll look at some verses here. Once you've found that, if you're able to stand with me, you're going to know these verses, I believe. And as we're doing that, we'll have the children dismissed for the Super Church. I appreciate those teaching and teaching the children. We looked last week at Jesus setting a child in their midst and telling them they need to be converted as a child. Let's stand as we turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And probably if I were to say, let's quote, not even looking at your Bible, let's quote verses 5 and 6 together. Probably for the vast majority of you, you say that's going to roll off your tongue. Now, if you don't, if you haven't memorized Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, these are pivotal verses for Christian living. It's very, very important. And we find here in verse number 5, he gives us some instruction here in Proverbs 3, 5. He says, starts with trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then our verse number 6 is taken from our theme this year as we talk about moving in God's direction. He says there in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And we're going to look at that verse number 6 this morning. And I want to encourage you with this. And first of all, I want to encourage you to memorize these verses. They're probably some of the easiest verses to memorize. A lot of people, hey, John 3:16, we know that verse. We have these memorized. And you think about the memorization, the repertoire of verses that you have, shall we say, in your spiritual arsenal. How important that is to have these verses. And these verses here are some that are going to help you in very important ways. But let's stop, first of all, and ask the Lord to help us in his word this morning. Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the song that we just heard taken from the scriptures, how we wait upon you. And now would you teach us from your word this morning as we wait upon you. We're asking you to teach us, to open up our hearts. And I pray that just for these moments here this morning, we just set aside the other cares of the day. We know that we have lunch afterwards, but really that's not the most important thing right now. We'll get to that in a little while. But that when now we could just focus on your word and that you would teach us, you would guide us in this. I ask for your Holy Spirit's leading. I don't want to say things because I think they're good. I want them to come from you. That is my desire this morning. I ask you to control my thoughts and my speech. And then you'd help us to make right decisions from what we find here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Be with those who are teaching the children. I pray you'll bless them and all the little ones in Jesus' name. And amen. Please be seated. We notice in verse number 5, he begins with an instructional word and he says, trust. Trust in the Lord. He's giving us some instructions there to do. And to trust in the Lord, he says, with all thine heart. Well, what does it mean to trust? What does it really mean to trust? I think a lot of times trust can be can come in stages. You trust people or circumstances for certain situations. And when I was growing up, right where we lived in the countryside. And right beside us, there was a little creek and there was a bridge over that creek. And there was a sign that said there was a weight restriction on that bridge. You knew you could trust that bridge up to a certain weight, right? One day, somebody went over that bridge with too much weight. That truck was laying, it was a big truck, was laying upside down in the creek. And the driver survived. He was very, very shaken. But God spared his life. And it was very interesting. Why? Because somebody went over the boundaries. They said, oh, I think I can do this. I think I can trust this. But it wasn't trustworthy for the weight that they were carrying. Trust is a very interesting thing. And they had the Winter Olympics in Calgary in 1988. Just prior to that, there was a television program where they were talking about the Paralympics, and they were featuring blind skiers. And believe it or not, they actually had blind skiers that were skiing us, you call that the slalom? Can't say that word properly, but you know what I mean. They're going back and forth like this. And that sounds kind of impossible. But what they did was they paired them with sighted skiers. And then the blind skiers were taught on a relatively less slope, on a flatter piece of snow, to make right and left turns. And when they mastered that, then they were taken to, of all places, the slalom slope, where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting left and right and having them turn. And as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line, depending solely on the sighted skier's word. It was either complete trust, wasn't partial, wasn't like there's a weight restriction. No, it was either complete trust or it was catastrophe. It's amazing what they can do. But I thought, what a vivid picture of the Christian life. In this world, we are in reality blind about what course to take. And we must rely solely on the word of the only one who is truly sighted, God Himself. His word gives us the direction that we need for our path. Perhaps this morning He's going to be beside you saying, go left, go right. I have something for your life. I have some direction for your life that I want to bring into your life. And maybe it's going to be something you say, I'm not prepared for that. Are you willing to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding? You have a lot of understanding. We have a lot of intelligence. We have a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. But sometimes I have to lay aside my wisdom and my intelligence and to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this situation. It's very important. As we look at verse number 6, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, one of the problems with this, and I'm really going to be speaking to Christians this morning, but we are going to also look at salvation here in just a minute. What is conversion? But one of the problems we have with verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths, is that there are just too many Christians who are looking at this backwards, saying, Lord, you direct my paths and I will acknowledge you. Because this is the way we think and the way that we're built. We acknowledge people after they do something. For instance, we're going to have an amazing lunch out here in a little while. And afterwards, there's going to be people walking around saying, hey, thanks for bringing that. I really enjoyed that dish. Thank you for bringing food. This is a wonderful time. Thanks for cleaning up. I'll take care of the vacuuming, by the way, out there. And, you know, we're just very grateful for all the work that is being done out there. And we're just naturally grateful. We acknowledge things, but our custom and often the way we think is acknowledge afterwards. God says, you come and acknowledge me first. Seek ye what? Third, the kingdom of God. You say, that's ridiculous. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He says, you come and acknowledge me first, and I'm going to be there to direct your paths. Are you willing to take up that type of trust? We'll look at some things here this morning. I hope that they'll be a help to you. They've been a help to me. If nobody else gets anything out of this, I've enjoyed putting this message together because it spoke to my heart. You don't know how many times my study is over here. I come out here and I preach to myself. I have a great time when you're not here sometimes, okay? I say amen to myself and I have prayer with myself, the Lord. But it's very important that we acknowledge God first, and then he will direct our paths. If you don't get anything else this morning, this is the key concept here. He's first. What's the first thing, though, is a conversion to God. Mentioned this last Sunday, as I mentioned, Jesus setting that child in the midst and saying, except you be converted. And that's about relationship. I was talking to someone this week, and I said, a lot of people want to have religion, whereas we need to have a relationship with God. And I could see the light kind of flicker. And I thought, okay, it's slowly getting there. When we speak, and so many things are about relationship. This is when we talk about God, it's our relationship to God through his son, Jesus Christ. For instance, other things. We speak of a wedding, which we had a wonderful time with Binnell and his family and his new bride. Keep praying for her. She'll get her paperwork, be able to get here sooner than later. But when we speak about a wedding, we don't express that as the institution of marriage. but we talk about it often as the marriage relationship of love. What do we look at in marriage? Relationship. When we speak of family, we don't express it as the institution of the family, but we talk about the relationships of family. Did I tell you about my mom, my dad? Hey, these are my children. Hey, did I show you pictures of my grandchildren? People talk about these things. My aunt did this. My uncle did that. My cousins are doing this. What are we talking about? Relationships. When it comes to our spiritual lives, it's relationship. This is my Heavenly Father. Hey, let me show you what the Lord taught me this week. What's that about? Relationship. Several things when it comes to conversion to God is you must have an understanding of your personal sinfulness before a holy and a righteous God. I have a personal sinfulness. You say, well, I got my sin nature from my parents. Yes, I did. But it's mine personal. And I have to see that before a holy God. Isaiah 64, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I see my righteousness, the good things that I do, as filthy before the Lord. I understand my sinfulness. That he tells us in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not looking at me before another person. Am I as good as my wife? Am I as good as my parents or my grandparents or as good as my neighbor? There's no possible way in this world I'll ever be as good as God. I have a sinfulness before him. And you must understand the penalty for your sin against God. There is an eternal separation that I was due away from God in the lake of fire forever. That's what I was due. There was a penalty there. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And I'm glad that sentence doesn't end there. It just pauses there. Goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I was under the penalty of death. And then we must come to understand that you cannot produce this relationship by yourself. What do I need to do? You come in faith to Jesus Christ. But in Ephesians 2, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Then not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We're very, very, very important there. We understand it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there was some way that we could work our way to heaven, we would end up comparing ourselves. You know, oh, I think I can be better than Presley over here. I think I can be better than Linda over here. You know, well, what did you do to get to heaven? Let me tell you what I did. You say, that's ridiculous. And it is. But that's what happens when we boil that down and look at it. And what it, we get to heaven, it's going to overwhelm us. Why? Why would he save me? Why would he die on the cross for me? Because he loves you. You want to have a relationship. We couldn't restore that relationship ourselves, so Christ went to the cross for us. There in Romans chapter 5, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated that love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then what do we do with that? How do we appropriate that as we turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus Christ? Why is it, especially for adults, maybe you've thought about this and got more clarity than I do. Why is it as adults, it's so hard for us to turn from our sin? I got saved as a kid. I didn't find it hard at all. I knew I was a sinner. My sisters told me so, you know. God's word told me so, okay? They just picked on me. But why is it as adults to turn from our sin? That's a part of it there, having pride in our lives. But we think about a holy and a righteous God, and he wants me to turn away from my way and go his way. Just repent of your sins. Say, God, listen, I'm sorry. I am a sinner before you. Please forgive me. But here's the thing. When you find God's forgiveness in your life, there's some real benefits. If I didn't really know about God's forgiveness, I don't know if I would really know how to have forgiveness for much of anything. As I am that stubborn in my old nature. When I found God's forgiveness, it opened up a whole door for me to learn that, you know what? I can forgive others, and I can ask to be forgiven by others when I do them wrong. Because God's forgiveness is all-encompassing in my life. There was a day when I turned and I asked God to forgive me of my sin. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's a turning and there is a trusting. As part of that trust in the Lord with all thine heart, I put it all in there. And He has saved me from my sins. If you've never had a time of conversion, I want to encourage you today to consider Jesus Christ. I know many of you, you've given testimony. This is a time when I was saved. This is a time when I was born again in my life, and you cherish that. You share that testimony with others. That's a precious, precious thing in your life. But every single person needs to know a time when they came to Jesus Christ. When I was a child, nobody told me to write it down. I don't know the exact date. But in my mind's eye, I can still see that very same scenario. A time when I did that, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That was the first part of my trusting. Then in verse number 6 here, he tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Not only does there need to be a conversion to God that comes into our lives, but then he shows us here in verse number 6, there's an examination of our ways. An examination of our ways, as he says here, to in all thy ways. What are our ways? Our ways, that's the course of life. Our actions, our conversations, what is our journey that we're on here, that we need to stop every once in a while and examine our ways. What's the way that we are going? You're there in chapter 3. Look across the page or so to chapter 4, verse 26. I'll walk you through a few verses here in Proverbs, as there's so much here. 4, verse 26. He says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. So he's saying, look at where you're going, ponder on this, you know, don't go off track from following the Lord. He says, actually, remove thy foot from evil, walk with the Lord. He says, you got to ponder, you got to consider. Look in chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, talking about God, pondereth all his goings. So he wants us to consider, because God is going to look at this and he's going to see all of our goings. What's the direction of your life? If you could just stop for a moment and say, this is the direction that my life is going. Is it the right direction? Is it the direction that God wants you to be going in? Because look in chapter 10 and verse number 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. You know, we could read 100 verses here this morning on so many things. Chapter 10, verse 9 says it this way. He that walketh upright walketh surely. Okay, and then he's going to give us a contrast. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He's talking about the direction of the ways that we're going. Is it upright or is it against the Lord? He's showing us this. There is a wrong way that we can go in. Look in chapter 13, verse 15. So there is a wrong way that we can go in chapter 13, verse 15. It's where he says, good understanding giveth favor. Amen. But look at this. The way of the transgressors is hard. I know people, they're doing their own thing. They're not following God and they just seem so happy. But you don't see them when they turn the lights off at night and they close their eyes and pillow their head, and you don't know what's really in their heart. You don't know, is there really peace there? Because I have a peace that passeth all understanding. Sometimes I have so much peace, I don't understand it. So what the Bible says? So where did I get this peace? I shouldn't be feeling like this. I shouldn't be having this. This is bad. God says, I'm going to give you something that's beyond understanding. You ever had that? That's only God can produce that. Can't manufacture these things. But the way of the transgressor is hard. But I want to live this certain way like this. I want to have these certain things in my life. We'll look at those things here in just a minute. But if they're not God's things, I'm going to tell you the way will be hard. I'd rather be warned up front than somebody said or later on say, why didn't you warn me the way was going to be hard? Well, it was a difficult thing. It was a negative thing to talk about. I didn't want to talk about it. Sometimes we've got to talk about the negative things. Sometimes we've got to bring those things into play and say, if you go down that road, you go in that direction, it's going to be hard. Go God's way. mean, that examination of our ways, very important. Chapter 11 of Proverbs and verse number 20. Chapter 11, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart, that's a perverse heart. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. If your way is upright before God, he says here, it's going to be God's delight. It's also going to be your delight. I really believe that. Chapter 14, verse number 8. 14, verse 8. Here he says, the wisdom of the prudent, that's the wise person, is to understand his way. Do you understand your way? Do you understand what God is doing in your life and the direction that you're going there? In verse number 8 of chapter 14, he says, But the folly of fools is deceit. Nobody likes deceit, especially to be deceived, right? When you find yourself deceived, boy, that feels bad. And that's what he is saying here. He's telling us here, what direction, what is the way that you're going? Are you understanding your way? Are you going in the way that God has for you? Look with me in chapter 20, verse 24 here in Proverbs. 20, 24. And he does this in a question form. There's just so many verses I had to narrow this down. Chapter 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. So who's in control? God is. I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, maybe you should turn off that news media and that social media for a while and just spend more time in the scriptures. Stop surfing and spend time praying. I have yet to get any real encouragement other than people I know posting something that may encourage me. But to get anything encouraging from the news media, I don't think you're going to find it there. But you can from God's word. He says here in chapter 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. God is in control. And then he says it this way, how can a man then understand his own way? Now, it's not a slap in the face to say you don't know anything or you can't understand. But he's showing us that in the midst of our lives that are very complex in this world that is very devious and deceitful and is out to hurt us, he says, how can we really understand our own way? We need God's way to go before us, that his direction that he gives us. So when we examine our ways, what are we doing here? The ways that you do what? Probably one of the very first things you'll say is probably the words that come out of your mouth. Am I right? Probably one of the greatest things that affects us in our lives today and in our homes, in our marriages, and in your workplace and everywhere that you go are the words that we say. When you think back over this past week of the conversations that you've had, the words that you said, would you say that that is the way God wants you to go? We have to stop sometimes and examine the way that you talk, the conversations that you have. Not only examining those, but what about in the things that you watch? Is that device that you have, whether it's a phone or a tablet or a computer, is it in control or are you? You have to examine every once in a while. Who's in control? If something pops up on there that you should not be looking at, are you able to turn it off? Or do you have something you need to repent of today and say, God, I was looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at? You say, it doesn't happen for Christians. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
We need to wake up. Examine. Yeah. Lord, what's coming in? Lord, help me. I'm not trying to yell to be mean, but it is so important that we examine what you watch, what you post. If Jesus Christ were to scroll through your posts this week, if the Holy Spirit were to scroll through your posts this week, what would he say? That's what helps me. If I'm going to post something before, if I send an email, before I ever hit the send button, before I hit the post button, it's like Holy Spirit's going to look at this. Jesus himself is going to look down from heaven and look upon these pictures. And what is he going to say? We're talking about examination. We're talking about down where we live. The internet's not going to go away. Devices aren't going to go away. So how is God going to use that? We praise the Lord. We have folks that are watching today via the internet, watching on live stream. Folks that are out there, God bless you. We wish you could be with us here personally. But we have a great tool. But if we misuse our tools, we need to ask, say, Lord, would you examine my life? Examine your ways. When you're at home with your family, how do you speak to your family? Sometimes we can be very nice to other people and then not so nice at home. You ask the Lord to correct that in your life. You ask God to give you a spirit of meekness to your family, a spirit of love. And you think about husband, how you treat your wife. Wife, how you treat your husband. My wife and I went to India. We spent literally 24 hours a day together for 12 days. You're going to find out really quick whether or not you really love each other.
We made it.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
We made it.
Okay. It can be done. But sometimes those very close relationships, we're not always as kind as we ought to be. And we have to just step back and examine our ways, to examine what it is that we're doing. What about parents or children? Well, we have parents to their children, talking to their children, raising them. What about parents to their children? I've challenged this with our teenagers before. Could you imagine raising you? You all got it. I heard the chuckle. I remember when I was a teenager thinking, if I was the one putting up with me, this would be a totally different scenario. Oh, boy. You know? But it's very true. So what I encourage is every teenager needs to be praying for their parents. You understand that concept, young people? You need to be praying for your parents, because what happens if your parents were to fail in their spiritual lives and walk away from God? What would happen to your family? Now, we don't want to go there. We don't even want to think about those things, because we're praising God that we got. If you have parents that love the Lord and they're raising you to follow God, you praise God for that. And you need parents that will do that. So you think about these things. You examine these things within your family. What about your reactions to life circumstances? How do you respond to those things? Do you examine your ways? What about your emotional responses in certain circumstances? How should a Christian respond? There's so many different things that can come up there. There needs to be an examination of our ways. And then also, there is a consideration of God. Because here in Proverbs 3:6, he says, there to acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. It says to acknowledge him, a consideration of God. Acknowledge means to consider or know. Moses did that to God in Exodus 33. He says that I may know thee. Why do you want to know God? So you'd know how to lead God's people. And it's very important. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. I thought, not too many people talking about that. I say, hey, God is known by his love. Yes, he is. But according to Psalm chapter 9, verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. We have a God of love. We also have a God who is very serious about his holiness. In Psalm 32:5, the psalmist said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He tells us to acknowledge him, acknowledge my sin. Psalm 51, verse 3, the psalmist said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. In Psalm 39, verse 4, he says, O Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. People are frail. People are fragile. We're not tough. All it takes is God to do a little bit of shaking, and next thing you know, we're crying. And I'm not saying that to be insulting. I'm just saying that's true. God shakes something in my life and I'm crying. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? God, how do I do this? We're frail people. And the psalmist said, Lord, help me to know how frail I am. So I need to acknowledge him. Psalm 89, verse 1, he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. To exalt him, to acknowledge him. How are you acknowledging God in your life? When people get to know you, do they get to know about your God?
It's very important.
Then he shows us here in Proverbs 3:6, not only in all our ways to acknowledge him, but he says, and he shall direct thy paths. The direction of our lives. What is the direction of your life this morning? Some are raising children. You would say, I need God's direction. Amen. For our families, for our kids growing up. Some are raising teenagers. I need even more direction, Lord. Why? Because you're shaping lives. It's one thing to teach them manners and teach them how to, you know, do brush their teeth and tie their shoes as their children. But once they become teenagers, now we're shaping them and molding them to go out into this world to live for the Lord. Some are teenagers and they need God's direction to love their parents. As I mentioned, praying for your parents, loving your parents. Teenagers. When was the last time you went to mom and dad and said, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. Not just because it was Mother's Day or Father's Day. Not just because they gave you a birthday gift. When was the last time you expressed your love to your parents? I was a teenager before I woke up to this. But one of the things that helped me is I had a preacher that I remember as a young teenager. He told us we were supposed to tell each other and our family that we love each other. My dad didn't grow up with that. My dad grew up in family where he knew that his parents loved him, but it was never, ever expressed. And I was a teenager before I ever heard my dad say to me, I love you. Now he says it all the time. Talked to him yesterday. Love you, Dad. Love you, son. Talk to you later. God does that. I didn't do it. But I want to acknowledge him. I want his direction for my life. What's the direction of your life this morning? What about seniors? Need direction? I hear it quite often. It's getting old thing. It's not for sissies. It's hard getting old. You need God's direction, amen? You do. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What about in your job? We heard testimony this morning. God directing one of our men in his job. Acknowledge God and he'll direct your path. What about in your church? Lord, how do you want me to serve you in my church? Do you need direction? Lord, how do I do certain things? Maybe one of those people, I come to church, I'm scared to talk to people. Well, you look around, every single person in this room would love to talk to you. It doesn't take much. We get it kicked off, and next thing you know, the fellowship just goes on and on and on. Maybe you've got something major coming up in your life. Lord, I've got a major purchase coming up in my life. Lord, I need your direction. Lord, how do I do this in my life? How are we going to go forward in this? How are we going to do this? Just by way of testimony, Bennell kind of surprised us by saying, hey, I'm getting married this year. And then we started praying. Lord, do you want us to go to India? Oh, we'd love to go. But Lord, only if you want that. We said we need to acknowledge God first, and then he would direct our path. So by way of personal testimony, the Lord allowed that to take place. What was our goal? Our goal was to go to India and be a blessing to Bennell and his new wife, Jim, meet his family. But, you know, I wouldn't say, Lord, I'd like to sit on an airplane for 30 hours. But I said, Lord, I will acknowledge you. If this is what you have, then you will direct my path. Lord, I'd really like to take a chance on eating some really, really hot foods. No. We acknowledge God, and he directed our path. And he used Bennell. This is hot. This is not. We're over here. Okay? Does God direct your paths? And I'm using some very practical things in our lives. Those are down-to-earth things. But that's where we live. Amen? We live on the down-to-earth things. How do we afford to do this? How can we do this? What about are we going to do a family vacation this year? How are we going to do that? Where are we going to do that? When is that going to take place? Lord, we're going to acknowledge you in all that we do. And then you will direct our paths. And then Bennell says, you're going to come, when you come to India, you're going to have to preach. And I'm going to have to preach to a translator. That was an experience and a half. But I had to acknowledge God so that he would direct my path. I didn't enjoy preaching through a translator, but if it would be a help and a blessing to those folks, that would be the main emphasis. It wasn't about me. Lord, you direct my paths, and you use me as, if you want to use me, I'll be available. If you want to do it some other way, I'm just going to get on board, God, with what you are doing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What do you need God to direct in your life this morning? Where are you at? How will you bring God into that? How will you acknowledge God? Maybe already the Lord is working on some things. You said, I've got some things in my life that I'm not acknowledging God about, and some things that need to be set aside, need to be repented of. And Lord, I need your forgiveness if I'm going to move forward on this. I need you to correct some things like the Lord's already showing you. If I'm going to acknowledge God, I'm going to have to do it God's way. Are you listening to him this morning? Perhaps he's already shown you some things and he wants you to acknowledge him because he's got a plan for your life. He's got a direction he wants you to go in, and perhaps you're scared. If I start acknowledging God about this, he might have me do such and such. You fill in the blank. We talked about conversion. Has there been a time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone? He's the only way of salvation. No church, no baptism, no nothing is going to save you. Only Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. Is your heart there and you say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be converted today. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, I've got lots of knowledge. I know all about God. Praise the Lord that you do, that you have a belief in God. But when did your belief turn into faith and repentance? Are you there this morning? Perhaps you're saying, I know I need to be baptized, and Lord, I'm going to acknowledge you and you're going to direct me. Perhaps you got an issue in your family and you're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do with this issue in my family. You acknowledge God and you ask for his wisdom. You say, Lord, you direct my path. Perhaps you're saying, there's something that I want to serve God in my church, and I just want to be used by you, Lord, and you acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In just a moment, we're going to sing number 485. It says, have thine own way, Lord. But I don't want you to sing that song if you don't mean it. You think about it. It talks about, thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Will you be moldable, usable to God? We're sitting in a church building this morning after 32 years as an independent fundamental Baptist church. The reason that we have the things that we have today is because somebody else went ahead of us and said, I will acknowledge God's way. I will take and I will acknowledge God, and he will direct our paths. We're sitting here on the blessings of those who've gone before us. I don't want you to ever forget that. How blessed we really are. Now it's our turn. Shall I say, we're up to bat. Will you acknowledge God in all your ways? Let us have prayer together. My Father, I thank you. I thank you for the attentiveness of your people this morning. And I pray that attentiveness will be based upon your word, not upon my personality or the things that I say, but that you draw us to yourself, that we would acknowledge you. Perhaps there's one here this morning that says, wait a minute, I need that conversion. I need that salvation in Jesus. I pray you get a hold of their heart. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, respect to the Lord and to one another. Are you at that crossroads in your life this morning? You say, pray for me, Pastor. I need that conversion. You'd slip your hand up. I wouldn't embarrass you, because that doesn't help people. But I do want to take you to the Lord in prayer. You'd say, I need that conversion. I need God's help in my life. I need that salvation to come into my life. It's never been there. Perhaps you're there. We'd love to take time to talk to you. You can bow your head right where you are and pray and ask God to save you. It's not because you're in a church. It's because where your heart's at. Perhaps there's other areas in your life. You say, I've got an issue in my family. I need to acknowledge God. I've got an issue in my workplace. I need to acknowledge God. I've got another area and the Holy Spirit's bringing up something. You say, well, the pastor didn't even mention that. So what? You deal with what God wants you to acknowledge. Say, Lord, I'm taking this and I'm acknowledging you. You may have to acknowledge, God, I can't do this. How frail I am. Perhaps there's something the Holy Spirit's pointed out in your life and said, this is sinful. And I want you to put that aside. And you need to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. And you tell him what it is. You say, Lord, would you help me to set that sinful? Maybe it's language. Maybe it's a behavior. Maybe it's an attitude. You say, as a young person, I got a bad attitude sometimes at home. Mom tells me to do something. I don't want to do it. You ask the Lord to help you to acknowledge him. Oh, Father, would you help us? Thank you for your word. I know that if we'll do it your way, we acknowledge you first, you will direct our paths. So please help us. Help us as we bow our heads and hearts in prayer right now. You would teach us and lead us. Whatever area that you're asking us to acknowledge you, that we would just yield that over to you. Not of our own will, not of our own volition. And perhaps we'll come away saying, I don't know how God's going to do it, but that's okay. We're going to let you guide us and direct our paths. With our heads bowed, and you take your prayer to the Lord right where you are this morning. You ask the Lord. You acknowledge God. Tell him what's on your heart. Maybe it's for yourself. Maybe it's for somebody else. You acknowledge him. Oh, Father, we thank you that we can come to you so easily in prayer, and we don't take it for granted because of what Jesus did for us. So blessed. Meet the needs of your people. Hear their cries. Hear their prayers. Answer them from above. Oh, Lord, help us. All in the Savior's name we ask this, and by your great grace and power. And amen.